Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 45 minutes, basically up until game time, as we preview tonight's national championship game between Kentucky and Kansas. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Follow me at twitter.com/WilliamJurrell, or you can hit me up at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. Or go to my website, SyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Again, we're going to be taking you basically up until game time for 45 minutes. We'll talk about this game, look back at Saturday's games, and certainly will give you my prediction on what I think is going to happen. The poll question of the night is, who will win tonight's championship, Kansas or Kentucky? Kentucky comes in as the prohibited favorite to win the whole thing, to win this game in particular. I think when you look at these two teams, I think that obviously everybody expected Kentucky to be here from when the season started, but I don't think anybody back in November or even December would have thought that Kansas, you know, losing all the talent that they lost with the Morris twins and Selby and Morningstar and some of the players that they lost, and also getting off to that slow start, 7-3. And they lost some good teams now. They got off to that slow start. You know, I didn't think Kansas was a bad team at all. I just thought that they lost, you know, they lost to Duke, lost to Kentucky. I mean, Davidson definitely is not a bad team. So, they had some tough losses, but I did not expect them to be at this caliber playing for a national championship. But that is where they are. And when you look at this matchup, all the pressure, when I mean all the pressure, is on Kentucky. Now, I'm not going to sit here and take the, you know, Bill Self is, and maybe Bill Self is trying to take pressure off himself by making a statement that we're playing with house money. You're not playing with, when you're playing for a national championship or coaching for a national championship, even though you have one in your back pocket, which Bill Self does, you're not playing with house money. I mean, Kentucky hasn't been in this game in 13 years as a school. Okay. Think about that. In 13 years, this is Kentucky now. 7 national championships, more wins than any team in any school in college basketball history. So I'm not going to take the, you know, Kansas is not playing with house money. But listen, this is a game that Kentucky has to win. I mean, Kentucky has as many as 6 NBA players, 5 first-round picks. They're going to have the number one pick in the draft, maybe even number 2, depending on which team, you know, depending on where the ping pong balls land in terms of Kid Gilchrist. And it's, you know, basically put up a sharp time for Calipari. I mean, Calipari had, you know, this is, you know, certainly a rematch of the 2008 coaching matchup with Kansas and Memphis. Kansas, not as good as that 2018. Kentucky, much better. And that was a very good Memphis team, but much better than that Memphis team back in 2008. Of course, these two teams met earlier in the season at Madison Square Garden back in November. 65-55, Kansas, Kentucky won that game. Kansas got off to a quick start, was up 15-3 early on, but, you know, Kentucky got tied by halftime and just took over in the second half and won going away. Listen, I would toss that matchup. I mean, you could toss that out the pasture. I mean, that matchup, you know, that game is November. Teams don't even know who they are at that particular time. But I will say this, you know, Kansas has been living on the edge as far as getting off to these slow starts. And if they want to win this game, Kansas cannot fall behind Kentucky double digits. They need to stay within at least two possessions in that, you know, that 3 to 6, 6 to 8 point range where they're a couple threes away from, you know, being right there. You're Kansas. You can't be behind 10 to 12 points, 12 to 15 points in the first half. Kentucky, as we've seen over the course of this tournament, they're great front runners. Not good front runners. They are great front runners. So, you know, they get a lead, you know, they're like, you know, kind of like Tiger Woods when in his heyday. I mean, they get a lead, it's over. And they're not going to blow too many. They're not going to blow too many leads. They're not going to blow a double-digit lead going into the second half. So, again, you have two historic programs going at it. The two winning programs in college basketball history. First and second, Kentucky and Kansas. Kansas looking for championship number 4 as a school. Their last championship, of course, it was in 2008. Kentucky looking for championship number 8, which would bring them within 3 of the all-time record, UCLA. All the pressure on Calipari. He has to win this game. I mean, he has to win this game. You're Calipari. You can't lose this game. I was thinking about which loss would be worse, Calipari losing this game or what transpired in 1999 with Mike Krzyzewski losing to Calhoun in Connecticut. Because to me, it's similar. They're very similar in terms of, you know, Duke 99, Kentucky 2012, powerful teams loaded with first-round draft picks going against, now, Connecticut, I think Connecticut's better than Kansas. Connecticut 99 team is better than Kansas. Connecticut team was the number 1 seed. They had Rip Hamilton. I think top to bottom, they're better than Kansas, a little bit better than Kansas. But still, that very similar in terms of, you know, both Duke and Kentucky were prohibited, overwhelming favorites going into that game, going into the tournament. And both were, frankly, you know, Calhoun coached circles around Coach K in that game, and Connecticut pulled off the upset, you know, 77-74 in one of the great championship games in the last 10 to 15 years. That was a tremendous game to watch. And that was, for me, that was the last time that a team that was favored in a national championship game did not finish a job. Kentucky will be looking to finish what they started with this earlier this season, and again, win championship number 8. For the blue bloods down there, and Ashley Judd and the whole 9 yards. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Just getting started here on this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, the final 2 show. When we come back, we'll look back at Saturday's games. I'll also give you the keys to this game. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Thank you. minutes after the 8 o'clock, after the 8 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review, the special edition, as we preview the national championship, which will be tipping off at about 9:23. CBS will have its whole, you know, prelude to a championship at 9 o'clock, and then the game will be started, tip off about 9:23. Very, again, a historic game from the standpoint of, I don't know when the last time you've had two teams, you know, the two winningest programs in college basketball history meet, because I'm trying to think, like, Kansas recently, and I mean recently, maybe within the last year or two, overtook North Carolina for the number two spot. Kentucky overtook North Carolina about 3 or 4 years ago for that number one spot. So I'm thinking, you know, North Carolina's played Illinois and Michigan State. Kentucky hasn't played, you know, Kentucky last time they played in a championship was, you know, played Utah. So, they, I mean, Utah certainly is nowhere near that list. And Kansas, of course, played Memphis. Memphis is nowhere near that list. So I'm thinking like that. I don't think this may be the first time that the two winningest teams in college basketball history have met for a national championship. Certainly a tremendous amount of history going into this game with Kansas and Kentucky, two of the landmark programs in all of college basketball without question. Kansas, a considerable underdog. And, you know, that speaks to a couple of things. It speaks to how good and how powerful this Kentucky team is. Okay, with all the NBA players that it has. And also speaks to this not being a vintage Bill Self Kansas team. I mean, this is why Self was, you know, the coach, Naismith Coach of the Year. He's done a tremendous job with this team. You know, considering everybody, you know, a lot of people thought Kansas would be in this game in 2010 and 2011. They were number one seeds, and they were the favorites. Both years, Kansas were the favorites going into the past two NCAA tournaments. And that's how it works out sometimes with the NCAA tournament. The year that you're not the favorite, that nobody's really talking about you, you end up playing for the championship. So Kansas goes into this game considerable underdogs. You know, I like them better than most people like them. And I'm not giving away my pick, but I think they're going to be around in the last 6 or 7 minutes of this particular game. Look back at Saturday's games. Saturday was a good day of college basketball, good night of college basketball. The Kentucky-Louisville game, which, again, should have been the second game, but, you know, that's water under the bridge, was I thought too much was made about how poorly Kentucky played. Kentucky didn't play poorly. Louisville, you know, that was more about Louisville and what they did as far as, you know, as far as mucking up the game, as far as, you know, what they did defensively, as far as, you know, them just destroying Kentucky on the offensive glass. And they just didn't have enough scoring at the end of the day. I mean, they did not have enough scoring. Louisville, you know, look at that game. Louisville had, you know, two players in double figures. And, you know, you can't beat Kentucky in playing a game in the 60s. But I thought Pitino did a tremendous job switching up changing his defenses with the pressure. Again, Kentucky, that wasn't their A game, but them not playing well had a lot to do with what Louisville did as far as I'm concerned. Darius Miller had the big three-pointer at 55-51 late in the second half to make it 58-51. I really thought that was probably the biggest shot of the game. Of course, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was in foul trouble. That certainly helped Louisville a lot over the course of that game. But I thought a very good game. I thought Louisville played well. I really did. I thought Louisville did all they can do, considering that they are nowhere near as talented as Kentucky. They only have one. They don't have one McDonald's All-American on their team. Kentucky has about six. So, you know, like that. You know that. You know, that game was, you know, you got what you expected out of that game. I was satisfied. I was completely satisfied with that particular game. It went exactly how I thought it would go. I thought Louisville would fight them to the bitter end, but just would not have enough firepower to deal with Kentucky. The second game, I was thoroughly disappointed because Ohio State, to me, we've seen collapses in the NCAA tournament. You know, you talk about Arizona, Illinois, or you want to call it a great collapse, great comeback. Ohio State, there's no way Ohio State should have lost that game Saturday. They were up 13 five different times. Second half, you know, Kansas defense, you know, Kansas turns up the defense, but they just, Ohio State just completely just panicked. It was like they didn't figure out how to play basketball in the second half. You know, they start firing away these three-point shots. They go away from William Buford, who had been hot in the first half. Sullinger was awful. This is why I don't like him as a pro prospect. 5 for 19. He can't handle sides. You get any length. You get a guy 6'10", 7 foot, 7 feet, 6'11", playing. He can't play against that dude. And that's all the NBA is littered with at the power forward position, center position. 6'10", 6'11", guys. 6'9", guys. So he was awful in that game. And I just thought that Ohio State just, it was like a different team in the second half. They were in such control of that game. They had the pace. They had Kansas playing in a half-court game. Kansas had no answers for Ohio State's perimeter shooters, for their shooters. And I just thought Ohio State was just in complete control of that game. Even at halftime, now Ohio State had a big bucket. Excuse me, Kansas had a big bucket at the end of the half with the Tyshawn Taylor layup. That was a huge bucket to cut the lead from 11 to 9 going into half, and that carried over into the second half of that game. Just a bad loss for Ohio State. I mean, you know, they, again, offensively they did nothing. Kansas again shutting down a team in the second half. Remember, they held North Carolina to 20 points in the second half of the regional final. They hold Ohio State to 28 points. They hold Ohio State to 28 points and just completely shut them down in that second half. Again, a lot of that had to do with Ohio State. I don't know what Ohio State was doing offensively in the second half. They just, they just panicked. I mean, Kansas came out with a couple buckets in the first couple of minutes, and that lead, the lead dissipated too quickly. I mean, they did not allow that lead to stick at all. That lead, they went from being up 13 with about 23 seconds left in the first half to the game being tied with about 14 minutes left in the second half. I mean, that lead, basically, in 6 minutes, the lead was gone. If you look at the Kentucky-Louisville game, Louisville was playing from behind the entire game. Even when they tied the game at 49, you felt that they were still playing from behind because they had been down the entire game. They had been down basically double digits almost the entire game and had to play come from behind. Kentucky did an excellent job of having that lead stick. And that takes a toll out of you. You know, you talk to teams, coaches, when you're constantly coming from behind in basketball, you know, you're down 8, you're down 10, you're down 11, you're down 12, you're down. When you're constantly coming from behind, it takes a lot out of you. If you can be down double digits and cut a lead or tie the game within a 5 or 6 minute span, you know, it doesn't feel like you were ever down, to be honest with you. It doesn't. And again, that lead, again, down by 9 in the first half, that lead was gone. Before you could blink your eyes, that lead was absolutely gone. And 14 minutes left, it was 38-38 with 14 minutes left in the second half of that game. So, you know, Ohio State have a long off season to think about that loss, Dad Mata and company. But, you know, great win for Kansas. Kansas really has shown their toughness throughout the course of this tournament, and they finished. They've been great finishers. Their second, I believe that they are, their plus minus in the first half and second half is off the charts. I believe they're minus 6 in the first half of their games in the tournament, and like something like plus 31. So they have been a second half team without question. But that, again, they're going to have to be a first and second half team in order to pull off the upset and beat Kentucky. When we return on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review Final Two show, we'll talk about the keys to the game, what Kansas had to do to win the national championship and pull off the upset. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Final Two show. We'll be right back. 2 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, the final truth show. After 68 teams and basically 3 weeks to come down to Kansas and Kentucky, I thought, obviously, everybody thought that Kentucky would be here, but very few, if any at all, thought, well, I shouldn't say any at all, they were a number two seed, but very few thought that Kansas would be here. Now, certainly they caught a couple breaks. Called one big break in terms of a broken wrist, the Kendall Marshall injury, but that's basketball, you know, that's part of sports. So, you know, to the victor goes the spoils from that standpoint. Kansas finds itself in a national another national championship game. Lifetime, Kansas is 3-5 in national championship games. Kentucky in their history is 7-3. Again, amazingly, that Kentucky hasn't been in a championship game since 1998. I mean, as remember, that was the tail end of them going to 3 straight championship games. They won one, they won 2 of the 3, lost an overtime classic to Arizona and Mike Bibby and Miles Simon in that 97 championship in overtime. You know, that was the Ron Mercer, Scott Padgett team, and then, you know, of course, Derrick Anderson did not play. So those 3 years, Kentucky was tremendous those 3 years. Patino built that. Tubby Smith ended up winning a championship in 98 after Patino left and went to the Celtics after losing that 97 championship game. A couple things that have to happen for Kansas to win. And I'm going to take their perspective because they're the underdog. I mean, Kentucky just has to play. If Kentucky plays its game, then they'll win. Kansas must get out in transition. You know, I know what you're thinking, like, Kentucky's one of the best transition teams in America. Yes, but Kansas is a terrible half-court offensive team. They cannot play half-court offense against Kentucky's set defense. They'll struggle to crack 50 points. So they have to get out there in half-court, and they have to get some easy baskets. They have to get out there in transition, you know, get a couple of looks at, get some open threes for TN and Elijah Johnson. And get some easy buckets. They cannot go against Kentucky's half-court defense. That's first. The second thing I would say is they have to make anywhere from, I would say, 8 to 10 three-point shots. Elijah Johnson has been pretty good from downtown, three-point range. TN has to make some. Tashawn Taylor has to make some three-point shots. I mean, the three-point shot is the ultimate, you know, neutralize it when you have a one team that is just more talented than the other. I mean, they have to make some outside shots. to they have to make some outside shots again. They've been Deshaun Taylor hasn't made a three all tournament. Elijah Johnson has made some timely three pointers over the course of this tournament. So, you know, I would say that you have to get anywhere from 8 to 10 three pointers made for Kansas if they want to have a shot to win this game. And I think that from a defensive standpoint, and we know that Kansas is a great defensive team, they must neutralize or take away either one of the big two. And the big two, I'm talking Gilchrist, Anthony Davis, and Kid Gilchrist. You have to take one of those guys. You have to take one of those guys away. And you have to. Both of those guys can't get off. I mean, Louisville, Gilchrist was basically almost a non-factor in the Louisville game, and Kentucky still won by 8 points. So if I'm Kentucky, if I'm Kansas, I'm going after Anthony Davis. I think it's much easier to take away a big man than it is somebody who's handling the ball. Gilchrist is going to handle the ball. He's going to handle the ball. He's going to have it in half court. I would try to take away Anthony Davis, maybe try to get him in foul trouble, try to, be physical with him, push him off the block. Let him shoot jump shots. I mean, he's capable of hitting jump shots, but keep him off the offensive glass, keep him from getting easy dunks, things of that nature. So, force him, let him hit 18 to 20 foot jump shots. Go ahead. One thing, if you're Kansas, that you can be encouraged by is the fact that Kentucky, despite his athleticism, despite his size, got pounded on the offensive glass on Saturday against Louisville. That single-handedly almost kept Louisville in that game. Kansas, is a pretty good rebounding team. They destroyed North Carolina in the regional final on the glass, despite the fact that North Carolina came into that game being the number one rebounding team in the country. So, if you're Kansas, you want to get more shot attempts. Kansas will not outshoot Kentucky. Kentucky, at the end of this game, when you look at field goal percentage, team field goal percentage, Kentucky will have a higher field goal percentage than Kansas. Kansas is just not a great shooting team. They don't get easy shots. Kentucky gets easy shots because of the presence of Davis. They have, they have some pretty good shooters on the outside, guys that can make threes, and in terms of Teague and Darius Miller and Lamb. So, and even Terrence Jones could step out occasionally and make a 3-point shot. But Kentucky is a very efficient offensive team. So they take and make good shots. So Kansas, to me, is going to have to, get anywhere from 15 to 20 more shot attempts to kind of neutralize the fact that they are not going to shoot as well as Kentucky. And frankly, I think they have to keep Kentucky off the free throw line. Kentucky is great at getting to the foul line. They'll get you in the bonus quickly. They are pretty good in terms of as a team, shooting foul shots. They make more than what their opponents attempt for the most part. So that is part, and that all coincides with them being such a very efficient offensive team. But I think the main two things though. Or for Kansas, number one, get out in transition, get some easy baskets, and number two, make some threes to kind of stretch Kentucky's defense out. And also one last thing, I almost forgot, one last thing, Bill Self, and he's certainly capable of doing this, he has to out-coach John Calipari. Now, first game, they coached against each other in terms of championship, in terms of national, last time in terms of national championship. I'm not going to say that Calipari self-outcoached Calipari. You can make a case that Kansas had more talent than Memphis did. I mean, you really can make that case in 2008. That was a very good Kansas team. But Bill Self is one of the best in-game coaches in college basketball. While Calipari, to me, is a guy who gets the talent and, just rolls them out there and just says, do what you do. And I think that Self certainly is more than capable. He Self has to come up with some type of wrinkle to throw at Kentucky that they haven't seen or that they're not expecting. When you are the underdog, when your team is not as good, you have to do something different. You can't go out there and roll your chips and say, hey, we're gonna play our game, do what we do, and win the game. No, that's not gonna work. So Kansas has to throw in some type of wrinkle offensively, or defensively, and you know, Self has to be better than Calipari. That's all there is to it. And again, Bill Self is a big time coach. Make no mistake about it. Self is on the brink of a second national championship before the age of 50. Think about that for a second. You know, they've won 8 straight Big 12 titles. Since he's gotten there, since he's been there, they've won more games than any team in college basketball. Self is a big-time coach, no question. Tonight, he's going to have to be every bit of that and then some for them to pull off this upset. When we return, I'll have my prediction, and we'll talk about a couple of other things going on in the world of sports. This is the Final Two Show on this special edition of the Cyril Coin Review. We'll be right back. After the 9 o'clock hour, as we get closer to game time, tip time about 9:23, CBS has already started its coverage. And let me correct you on that score. It was 75-65 the first time they met, not 65-55. So it's short change the teams, basically 20 points. Couple of non-basketball notes. Joey Votto is going to sign a 10-year, $225 million extension. Now good for the Votto family. And, you know, I'm sure if he's married, he got kids, has kids, his family is very happy right now, and they should be. But what in the world is Cincinnati doing? There's a guy who, you know, again, Votto is one of the best first basemen in, you know, in the National League. But, I mean, he's not, I mean, forget about Albert, you know, Albert Pujols, Prince Fielder, Mark Teixeira, those are some other guys that you certainly would take over him. You would take over him if you were starting a team of first baseman. But you're really going to give Joey Votto $225 million if you're Cincinnati? I mean, oh my God. And the Matt Cain contract is understandable. He's a pitcher. He's a pitcher whose record should be much better than what it is, considering that the Giants don't have given him very little to none in terms of run supports. I totally understood that contract. You had to lock him up. But Votto, I mean, Cincinnati's supposed to be a small market. I mean, really? $225 million, 10 years. Wow. Certainly something we'll talk about more on the next edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call as we look ahead and look back at the first week of the baseball season, which, of course, will kick off for the third time. Baseball has basically three openings. They had the Japan opening. They'll have the opening with St. Louis and Miami. It's in Miami's new ballpark on Wednesday, and then they'll have opening day on Thursday. So, you know, stay tuned to that as the baseball season comes, as the baseball season draws near to everybody opening. And you know what? I liked it much better, to be honest with you, when you used to have the national championship on a Monday night, and the baseball season have opening day that Monday. I think that was much better off. Like, to me, that was a perfect segue from one season to another, one season ending to another season opening. And it was a perfect setup. You had the national championship. This is one of the great weeks of sports, because you have the end of the college basketball season, you have the baseball season opening officially, and then you will have the Masters tournament kicking off, teeing off on Thursday. So it's as good as it. You won't have too many sports weeks that are as busy and as good as this particular sports week. But I think that baseball should go back to opening on the night of the national championship, on the day of the national championship. But that's just me. 6 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Final Two Show. I also have to apologize for what transpired on Saturday with the program, Saturday morning wake up call, or Sunday morning wake up call. We had some technical issues, so we were not able to do a program. I should do a better job of announcing that on Sunday. But we're here now for the Final Two Show as we get ready for this national championship game against two of the most storied programs in all of college basketball, Kentucky and Kansas. All season long, first of all, expect a very good game. History tells us that this game is going to be a great game because New Orleans has produced nothing but memorable national championship games. I mean, you go back to 82 with Jordan, Keith Smart, and Indiana in 87, Chris Webber timeout, 93, Michigan, North Carolina, and recently 2003 with the Peter Hakeem Warwick block as Syracuse took home his first national championship with Jim Boeheim back in 2003. So it's produced memorable finals, and will this be on par with that? Maybe. Who knows? Maybe it has the potential to be. I think Kansas will absolutely be in this game. I really do. I think I've watched Kansas closely over the course of this particular tournament. They've had a number of close calls. This is a mentally tough, physical, nasty team as far as just their tenacity, their will, tremendous lot of heart. But at the end of the day, I will take the 5 first-round draft picks. And I'll take history as well. You look at it in recent memory. You have to go back to 1999 to find a team that has not won a national championship, that has not been the favorite going into that particular game. It's more like it doesn't happen. Now, Memphis, Kansas, to me, was a toss-up. I mean, Memphis might have been a slight favorite. And I mean slight, but that was a big time. That Kansas team won 37 games. Okay, so that was a big time Kansas team. So, Memphis outplayed them and should have won the game. That wasn't an upset by any stretch of imagination. They both were number one seeds. But to me, you have to go back to Duke and UConn in 99 to find the last time a team who was supposed to win did not win. And, Duke should have won that game. Well, Duke should have won in terms of that, based on their talent, was the favorites. And, Connecticut pulled off the upset. Despite all the upsets that occur over the course of an NCAA tournament, first, second round, even sometimes going to the Sweet 16, in recent memory, the team that's supposed to win normally has gone on to win. And, whether that's North Carolina in 05, whether that's UConn in 04, whether that's, Duke a couple years ago against Butler, even UConn last year against Butler, teams that are supposed to win these games. I mean, Florida, there was two times they won in 06, 07. So, again, I will take Kentucky. I think with 5 minutes left to play that this will be a close game. And I'll take Kentucky somewhere like 76 to 69, somewhere in that vicinity. I do think Kansas will be in the game. I don't see Kentucky blowing out Kansas. I think Kentucky, might get a little tight. See, Kansas is going to play loose. They're going to play loose. I mean, there's no question in my mind that they're going to be, Bill Self is going to sell them on that us against the world. Nobody expects us to win We're not supposed to be here. Go out there, play your game, have fun. He's gonna sell them on that. He's gonna sell them hard on that. But at the end of the day, again, I'll take the 5 first round draft picks to cut down the nets and win a 8th championship for the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Remember, you know, and again, Calipari has to win this game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He has to win this game. He will not have a better opportunity to win a championship than what he has right now. Listen, when it happened, when Kendall Marshall broke his wrist, I thought this tournament was over, to be completely honest with you. To me, North Carolina was the only team that had the firepower and the talent, the athleticism that can go toe-to-toe and it could possibly beat Kentucky, that there was nobody else. Didn't like how Syracuse was playing going into this tournament. Wasn't high on Ohio State. You know, I liked Michigan State, but wasn't sure that they even had the kind of athleticism So, you know, listen, Kentucky, you know, caught them in, you know, I'm not going to say them. You know, Kansas certainly caught a break with UNC going down. But, you know, Kentucky, you know, the stars broke right. I mean, they, you know, they're going to go through this tournament without having to play a number one seed. Think about that. They're going to go through this tournament without having to play a number one seed to win a championship. They'll go through a 3-seed, a 4-seed, and a 2-seed. So, the stars have aligned right for Kentucky, and again, this is a game that they should absolutely win. There's no two ways about it. This is a game that you, if you are a big time team, if you have all these draft picks, if you're Kentucky, you win this game. And not to shortchange Kansas. I mean, listen, Kansas is Fall Gallen, you know, Dean Smith when he, you know, played there. I mean, I'm not shortchanging. Kansas is a legendary, you know, landmark, one of the, you know, Mount Rushmore college basketball as well. Let me not make Kansas out to be VCU. But Kentucky's a better team. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Kentucky's a better team, and Kentucky should win this game, and I fully expect Kentucky to win this game, as CBS is showing the Hall of Fame class, which Reggie Miller, Don Nelson, Hank Nichols, and Ralph Sampson. Very interesting about Don Nelson. I understand he has more wins than anybody coaching in NBA history, but never won an NBA championship as a coach, and, you know, was really a one-dimensional. I have some issues with Don Nelson being a Hall of Fame coach, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there now. Again, expect a good game. I expect a fast-paced game, but at the end of the night, it will be a wildcat night. Kentucky will claim championship number 8. I'm looking forward to it. I will see you soon on the next edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. Enjoy the game. So long.